Hello, everybody. I think when I first came to this conference, the first thing that I was thinking is on that I will get an answer for is how to add value to all repositories, your repositories, I guess. And one way in which I think that could be is by destroying the silos in which all repositories live. Often, the collections that we have in our repositories are completely not connected to other research outputs that are somewhere else in the web, maybe not the platform. Maybe they're not even connected to the researchers that create them or the grants that fund them. And today, what I want to share is a way to remove those silos, which is based on the use of persistent identifiers and the open services from Dataset. So if there are three things mostly that I want you to get out of this talk, the first one is, what are these connections? And what are the types of these connections that you can get? How can you access them? And why is this a better approach? My name is Christian Garza. I'm an application developer for Dataset. Dataset is one of the global providers of persistent identifiers for research data and other research outputs. Our mission is actually to identify knowledge and connect research. And the connections that I'm talking about are the connections that your resources and your repositories have with other research outputs on the web. And precisely those ones that they have with research outputs that have persistent identifiers. That could be a data set, another researcher, another research article. For example, when it could be a relationship of the same type with the same identifier, for example, a research article citing another research article or a researcher actually linking to a data set. The important thing here is that the metadata in these persistent identifiers provides a mechanism to actually unambiguously link these two types of research, the research outputs. And these connections, these links, are being done every day by researchers when they deposit their metadata in a repository, or when they cite an article or a data set in the reference sections of their article. And we have been collecting those ones for the last 10 years, so we have many of those links. And those are the links and the connections that I think it can help repositories to break out of their silos. So one can model all these connections in a graph in which the resources that are identified with these persistent identifiers are the nodes in the graph, and the connections are the edges of that graph. And by using that model, you can actually make very powerful questions to that graph. You can ask, for example, what are all the citations that the publications of a specific researcher have? And we call this the PID graph, and this is where all those connections are living. So that's the data set that we have. And now the question is how to access that data set. And the answer for that is the DataSite GraphQL API. And the DataSite GraphQL API is the combinations of DataSite services and GraphQL technology. GraphQL is a syntax to query data in a graph. And it's already has been in development by as a community-driven endeavor has been already adopted by most of the major players in the technology sector. In the case of the DataSite GraphQL API, this works pretty different to the REST API, the REST APIs that probably you're familiar with. But it's a very compelling approach to actually query all those connections in the graph, especially because it takes advantage of the persistent identifiers, because the GraphQL technology needs globally unique IDs. And also, it takes advantage of all the existing services. So even when this is a new service, you can be sure that in the background, we are using all the production-grade services that you are used to using, like ORCID IPs and APIs and cross-site APIs and data-side APIs. So I want to give you a sense of how this works with a very, very generic example. When you make a query to a GraphQL API, your query looks like a JSON snippet, so something like this. And your regular start with a resource. And this, for this example, the resource is me, and I'm going to query for my name and my Twitter account. That's the only thing that I want. And the response will look like this. And what I want you to notice about that is only three things. One is that I get the information, only the information that I requested, nothing else and nothing more. There is the shape of the response is the same shape of the query, so it's easy to understand for everybody what you are requesting for, what you're obtaining. And the last one is that there is only one endpoint for this API. I don't show the endpoint here, but there's only one endpoint, and that should help with documenting and not having knowledge about the API. Now, this is a very generic example, so it's not very relevant. So I'm going to show a small demo on that with something that I think is closer for repositories. When you call resources in the Data GraphQL API, you really have to start with a resource that could be a data set, a researcher. I'm going to start with a repository. But I'm going to cheat very badly because we don't have a PID for a repository. But if your repository has a data set client, I can look for that. So I'm going to query for a big repository. Everybody knows these guys. So I'm going to query for Figshare, and I'm going to ask just two things. I'm going to query their name and the description, nothing else. So when I run the query, I obtain that. And I'm pretty sure you can notice the same three things. The shape, the response is the same as the query. There's only one single endpoint. And I only got the information that I requested. But this is a very boring example. It's Figshare, so there might be many publications. You can request those ones. We can request the total number of publications that Figshare has. Those publications have titles, so we can request those ones. And many of those ones will have IDs. So we can ask for those IDs. And when you run that one, you will get the total number of accounts for that's all the publications, the titles of those publications, and the IDs of those ones. In this case, they are the OIs as well. Once you do that, well, you can say, well, those publications have creators. There is someone that makes them. So you can say, well, give me the creators, give me the names. And they might have ORCID IDs. So give me the ORCID IDs as well. And when you query that, you get the same information you had before plus the creators. There will be some authors that don't have ORCIDs, whatever is the adoption of that out there. But I think you would tell, well, I mean, you cannot break in any silo. I mean, if I'm Figshare, I know all that information. So citations is something that probably doesn't live in Figshare. So it's something that we also query. And the related identifier world, in the PID world, the number name for citations is a strange name. It's called related identifier. So we can query for those ones and get all the citations of each article that is in Figshare. Well, those ones that have citations, there are some that don't have. There are some that have many, a few, so you get those ones. So by now, I hope I can give you an idea or take the leap of what is next, because, for example, those creators of those publications might have data sets that they use for creating those publications. So we can query for those data sets as well and get their IDs. And the other thing is that those citations that themselves publications, so we can get probably their titles, also their creators, and maybe their citations as well. So in that query, that will be that you get the citations of the citations of all the publications in your repository. So that's a very fascinating query, actually. So if I run that, I should get all those relationships, but I'm not going to run it. I'm sorry about that. The reason I'm not going to run is because the Data GraphQL API is a pre-release at the moment, so it's not totally complete. There is some functionality missing. There might be bugs. We are still working in support many use cases for those queries, but they will be supported in the near future. The most important thing at the moment is your feedback, so we invite you to use it, to come and play with it. Don't worry, you are not a data set client. If you have an RE3 data ID, your repository is there. We will implement a functionality to make queries for that. So if you are in RE3 data and your repository uses persistent identifiers, you can do the exact same query that I just made. We have tons of documentations about the GraphQL API, and we are working the Freya project in many other use cases. This is only one use case, but we have been working in many other use cases. For the queries that you can make here. In data, we are very confident in approach that this approach is in the PID graph and the Data GraphQL API to actually break the silos in your repositories, because it's a machine actual approach. We get data from many parties, it's not only DataSat's effort. So we invite you to go to the PID forum. This is a forum for PID things, and ask any questions about these two things. And yeah, that's it. So we have time for questions.
Let's give an applause.